Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians, and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch with us at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co or follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay tuned until the end of the program, where we're also going to share an exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who you know will also find it of interest. Today, well, in case you missed it, recently the Genesis 123 Foundation hosted a spectacular, unprecedented global prayer for Israel. I've been receiving so many compliments literally from all over the world because we had people from all over the world. This was a 6+ hour event with people staying up late in China and Japan, praying in Chinese and Japanese and English, and staying awake and waking up early rather in New Zealand and Australia in order to catch the last few hours of the prayer. And together we prayed for the safety and the safe return of the hostages and their families. 128 of them today still are being held in Gaza. We prayed for the safety and success of the IDF and the soldiers who have been injured and the families of those who have been killed, nearly 300 already. And we prayed for God to change the hearts of our enemies. And that's so critical. We're not praying for a defeat. We're praying for change. Defeat, if God doesn't help with the change, defeat will also come in time. And today I'd like to share with you a little bit of what that was about so you can hear and be part of these incredible, incredible, inspired prayers. I want you to hear from our military expert, Major Elliot Chodoff, who's giving us a briefing on where we need to be focusing our prayers. And I want you to hear from Chris Mitchell. There's no journalist like Chris Mitchell, not just in Israel, but in the world. Chris Mitchell from CBN talking about who are our enemies and what do we need to pray for them. And they're not just here in the Middle East. They're all over the U.S. and Western world. And I want you to hear from families of two hostages. And it just breaks my heart even that I have to have these conversations. We're going to hear from the daughter of one and the father of another. And I want you to hear some of the incredible prayers from Jewish and Christian leaders all around the world. And if you missed it, or if you just want another dose of tremendous inspiration, please check out the Genesis 123 Foundation YouTube channel, where we have each of the 6-hour programs lined up in queue for you to be able to follow, listen to, be inspired by, and pray along with. Have a listen. And pause it as you need so you can get down on your hands and knees and pray for Israel. Shalom, this is Jonathan Feldstein with the Genesis 123 Foundation. I am having really the true privilege of just meeting Ilan Tiv, who is the daughter of a hostage currently being held in Gaza, whose name is Keith Siegel. Keith is an American, a dual citizen, American-Israeli, and he was taken hostage along with his wife, who fortunately was released after 51 days, but Keith is still there. And Ilan, honestly, it's really emotional for me to speak to you, but I'm very grateful for you making the time today to tell us about your father and help us as we begin an hour of prayers for the hostages who are still being held, your father specifically, and for you and your family. Can you tell us about your father?
Yes, my dad is 64. In a few days, he will be 65. And he's an American citizen. He grew up in Chapel Hill in North Carolina. And when he was 21, he came to Israel and married my mom. And they lived in Kibbutz Kfar Aza for almost around 40 years. I have three siblings, and my dad is a loving father, and he's a really gentle person. He likes people. He's a people person. He likes to listen. He likes to talk to people. And he really loves music, all kinds of music. He has five grandchildren, and he's an amazing grandpa. His grandkids really wait for him to come back home and play with them and laugh with them and go to hikes in Israel, which we love to do.
You know, my son was called up on October 7th and October 8th. He was in Kfar Aza. He's a paratrooper. And one of the things that was so hard for me about him being called up and then eventually going into Gaza is not knowing where he is and what's going on. I know you don't know. I mean, you know from your mother who's sitting next to you, and she's obviously shared many of the experiences. I don't know if they were together or not, but this not knowing, how do we as Jews and Christians together pray for your father and pray for the 132 other hostages who are still being held, not knowing their situation?
So I can share with you what we do as family. We do two things. One is we picture him in our minds, in our thoughts, and smiling and with other people around him. We really try to imagine, picture him in our heads and in our thoughts as surviving this moment in the very best, if you can say. And the other thing is we send him like we send him powers or send him energies, and we really say it out loud that we wish him that we wish that he eats food that fills his stomach and that he can sleep at night and he believes that he will come home as soon as possible. And we all do it, like the grown-ups and the kids send him those powers and energies and really believing that he's getting them.
That's very helpful and very emotional. And even though we don't know your father, we will be posting pictures and pictures of the other hostages so people can imagine them at the peak of their lives with their families, celebrating and being strong and praying God, praying that they'll be back to you very, very soon. One more thing, Ilan, how do we pray for you, for your family, for all of the other hostage families? I know it's heartbreaking. I know I can't imagine honestly how you get through the day, but how do we pray for you?
So first, I would say that the prayer of our loved ones being back to us as soon as possible, and that somehow the leaders of this world and this region will have the ability to bring them home to their families. And for us, I guess to stay positive, to believe. One of the hardest things for us is to keep the hope, you know, to keep it in our minds and really feel it, because sometimes it goes away. And to stay together, to feel the power and feel the people that love us, support us at this time, like you all doing, to stay strong and stay in a belief that we can do more all the time that they would come home.
Well, you've definitely guided us, and I know that there's so much more that we can and will be praying about. And I'm grateful for you taking these few minutes to help us do that. And I look forward, and I know I speak on behalf of all the thousands of people who are participating in this global prayer for Israel, that we look forward also to celebrating with you and your father and his 65th birthday and many, many, many other birthdays and happy occasions with you as a family together, God willing.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Elon. We're praying for you. Shalom, friends. This is Jonathan Feldstein with the Genesis 123 Foundation. I'm here with Ilan Dalal, whose son Guy is a hostage in Gaza since October 7th. And this hour, we are praying for the hostages and their families and their safe return and everything they need. And Ilan, I know this must be, I can't imagine how you exist the last 215 or so days. Knowing that Guy was taken hostage by the terrorists, it must be very hard and it must be ch life changing. But would you tell us about Guy so we know who he is and who specifically we're praying for?
Course. On October 7, our life turned upside down when Hamas invaded into Israel with 3,000 terrorists and slaughtered and killed, burned and raped 1,500 people. About 250 were kidnapped to Gaza. One of them is my son, Guy. Guy went to the music festival at the Nova party with three of his friends. They were all childhood friends, which were very excited to go to this party, to this music festival. They prepared themselves months ahead because they were very excited to this music festival because it was published all around the world. People from all around the world came. As you can see with the hostages and the killed, that there are hostages from 32 states,
Countries.
countries, from 32 countries. So you can imagine the international happening of this event. Guy and his friends went to this music festival. They arrived there about 2 o'clock at night. They send us photos of them getting there, setting up the tent, and having a fun, a lot of fun. My older son Gal was also there. He met with his younger brother Guy at the music festival. They sent us a selfie about 6:15 in the morning of both of them smiling and having fun, and it was all good. And 15 minutes later, the missile started, and they decided to go home. And each one of them went to the car with their friends. They came in separate cars, and they went to the parking lot, get into the cars, and start to drive out of the event. Unfortunately, in the exit there was a traffic jam, and in this place, the terrorists came and tried to and sh shot everybody there, and they started to panic. People ran out of their cars. My both son went each to a different place because of the panic that was there. People got hurt and got shot near them. My older son, Gal, was hiding for about 10 hours in the fields, running away from terrorists until he was rescued eventually by Israeli security forces 10 hours later, and he returned home. My younger son didn't have this luck. He and his friends ran to the open fields where they had nowhere to hide. And they got to some place where they saw many people from this music festival hiding, and they sat there with them. They talked to us in about 8:30 in the morning, and he said that they are with many people, and there are four policemen that are keeping them, and don't worry, everything okay, we are safe. 15 minutes later, one of the girls that was with him sent a selfie to her mother, where she and her boyfriends are hiding under a bush, and they were not together. And it was 15 minutes later. Since then, we didn't have any contact with them. 2 hours later, we received a video of guy already hostage in Gaza. In October 7 at 12 o'clock at noon, we knew that he is a hostage. We saw a video of him, and he was kidnapped with his best friend, and the other two friends that were with him were brutally murdered by Hamas. A week later, their body were recognized and they were brought here to bury in Israel. There were four friends that went to this party, four good friends. None of them came back home. Two were murdered and two were kidnapped. My son Guy and his best friend Aviatar are still held hostage by Hamas for more than 6 months now. 7 months now. Time is passing by, unfortunately, too quickly. It's been 7 months now that they are probably underground in the tunnels with no clear air, without seeing sunshine, without proper medical care, without proper food to get. We are very, very worried for him. Last time we heard a sign of life, it was more than 3 months ago. And since then, we heard nothing. I don't know if he's still alive. I sure hope so.
That's obviously something we're going to pray for, that he is, and that he'll come home to you and all of the hostages very soon. But can you help us with thousands of people today following, praying with us, praying in their homes all over the world? What specifically should we be praying for? For Guy and for all the hostages?
Well, first of all, of course, that all the hostages will come back to their families well and alive. We know that some hostages are not alive. So we just want to get them back to Israel to a proper burial. Everyone that is still alive must come home to their families. The families are waiting so long, people are broken. I can tell you about my family that on October 7, me and my wife held two jobs each. And since then, we quit all our jobs. We are not working at all. We are 100% dedicated in bringing Guy back home. And this is all what we do now. And we talk to everybody that's willing to listen. We make interviews. We travel in the world and we do whatever we can, because the one thing we can do is get into Gaza and get my son back. So, of course, what you're doing is very helpful. We need your prayers. We need your support in order to show to your countries that Israel has support, because Israel is now in a very bad situation in the world. Not just the pro-Palestinians demonstrations that becomes violent and the anti-Semitism is rising all over the world. It started to affect their government, and they are making actions that actually hurt in Israel. Starting with announcements that are not for the benefit of Israel, and ending with actions that actually brought in shipment of weapons to Israel that can harm us and doesn't give us the opportunity to defend ourselves as we should.
Ilan, you know, as you're speaking, I feel like we're old friends, and you're a wonderful, charming man, somebody who I could be friends with and want to be friends with under a normal circumstance. I'm sorry we're meeting like this. I'm sorry everybody who's hearing you is hearing you under this circumstance. And I know we will pray, we are praying, that it will be better very soon. The guy will come home and he will be strong and he will be healthy. And whatever physical or emotional recovery he needs, that will happen soon. But what about you? You just told me you and your wife both aren't working. You and the rest of your family and the other hostage families. How do we pray for you specifically today?
Well, pray for us to stay strong, to stay sane. So when the hostages will come back, they will come back to a healthy family that will help rebuild them, because they will need a lot of help who will come back, because after so much time in captivity, they'll probably have mental and physical problems. So we have to stay strong for them. So the prayer must be for the health of the hostages and the health of the families that will stay strong, that God will hear our praise and help us get to the right way. We are suffering too long.
Yes. Well, those are our prayers. Those are my prayers. You are helping to guide all of us thousands live today, and also many who will watch this afterward. Ilan, again, I'm grateful. I know this is your full-time job, and you're doing it as well as anyone can. You're being a parent is never easy. In the good times, and you're pressed in a situation that no one ever could imagine. So we're praying for you. I'm grateful for you taking the time, and on behalf of everybody who's participating today, to commit that we will continue to pray, but also anything that we can do. You're part of the family, and we're part of yours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and God
Thank
bless
you
you.
very much. Very appreciate your support.
From the beginning, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been supporting at-risk youth in Israel. Providing for the future of Israel's most vulnerable is also one of its most important investments. Seeing the challenges and difficulties that the youth are facing, it became an immediate priority and a responsibility to lend a helping hand wherever help was needed. Since then, the Genesis 123 Foundation has traveled all over Israel, creating a safe space for at-risk youth to receive the love and support they so desperately crave. We provide essential therapies to help them overcome their challenges, celebrating bar and bat mitzvahs for children whose families are without means, supporting families evacuated from dangerous border areas, giving the kids something fun and engaging, and giving their parents an important respite. After-school academic support to help kids keep up with their studies, a cornerstone for their future. Comforting orphans and other children who witnessed unspeakable horrors and loss. We will continue to support at-risk youth so that the future generations can have a chance at a life of fulfilled dreams and become outstanding members of society. Each child is an opportunity to show kindness and mercy, and each precious child teaches us just how sacred this work truly is. Come alongside us today to pray and support youth at risk in Israel.
Shalom, this is Jonathan Feldstein with the Genesis 123 Foundation. I'm very pleased to have today Major Elliot Chodov, who's a reservist officer in the IDF, a political and diplomatic commentator, and just an all-around expert. And Elliot, I'm thrilled that you're joining us today for the Global Prayer for Israel, where we're specifically praying for the IDF. And as we're in the midst of a war, now 7 months old, starting in Gaza, expanding in Lebanon, we've been attacked by Iran. What do we need to pray for the actual military success of the IDF?
Well, I think that it may seem trite, but victory is something that I think many in the West, and including in Israel, is something that has come out of our lexicon and needs to go back in. Really, a prayer for victory, a defeat of our enemies. This it sounds almost biblical, but once upon a time, that's really how wars were fought, instead of leaving as we have in the past decade or so, decade plus, leaving Hamas and Hezbollah and our enemies in the field at the end of operations. So I would start with victory.
Go ahead.
No, and right behind that, or along with it, at the minimum cost to us that you can. Anybody who's familiar with warfare, and I am, knows that there's no such thing as no-cost warfare. But certainly there is a difference between the price you must pay and beyond that.
Yeah.
And keeping it at keeping it to a minimum, minimum tragedy on our part, the minimum soldiers killed and wounded, and as a result, the minimum number of families will suffer the loss and hurt to their loved ones.
Sure. You're off right now as we're speaking. You've served already. You were called up earlier during the war. You know you're interacting with soldiers. You live in the north of Israel. Soldiers I'm interacting with when we've been going out and giving out winter jackets and food and all kinds of other things. You're seeing tremendous motivation. But I keep hearing from people that there's a sense that we, Israel, are standing alone. What do we need to do to pray for the soldiers themselves as they literally put their lives at risk, but they're away from their families and confronting life and death situations?
That they maintain their strength, mental and physical. It's, I think, another thing that we often take for granted. We think of soldiers as automatons. They're people, and they suffer from the fatigue and the pressure and the stress of combat, of being in the military in general, and of being away from home and family and loved ones. And all of these things weigh on soldiers. And the longer it takes, and we've been at it now for 6 months, it's incremental. In other words, maintaining high motivation is something that is not to be taken for granted. So I would say again, their physical and mental well-being beyond what I talked about earlier, the cost of war, of combat itself, but the negative effects of being in a war and in the military, not necessarily specifically in combat.
Yeah, thank you. And let's talk for a minute about their families. When you, for instance, were called up, when my son, son-in-law, they left behind spouses and children and business and work and what have you. As we're speaking, close to 300 soldiers have been killed, which means over 100 widows and hundreds of orphans. What do we need to be praying for their families, for the people who were left behind?
For their strength, physical and mental, the being able to, you know, sometimes with all the difficulty that about being in the military, sometimes it's easier to be there than to be home, worrying about your loved one who's there and you haven't heard from. We now finally, I say this because something I advocated for years, take away soldier cell phones for all sorts of good security reasons. But one of the negative effects, if you will, is that they're not in constant contact with their families. And that leaves a great deal of worry behind, that also to praying to ease that. And that ultimately all the messages that come from the front will be good news, or as much as possible.
Excellent. Thank you. Elliot, before we finish, anything we didn't cover? You're speaking now to thousands of people, Jews and Christians all over the world. What else do we need to know?
No, I think that's it. As I said, victory, well-being, low cost, and strength at home to be able to withstand all of this.
Awesome. Elliot, Major Elliot Chodov, thank you for taking time for your insight today and for helping us focus our prayers.
Always a pleasure.
Hi, this is Chris Mitchell with CBN News. As we go to prayer about changing hearts, we can also talk about, first of all, the challenges facing Israel and the Jewish people. Hamas on October 7th, which changed the world, changed history, the worst attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust. And we can discuss Hezbollah, an enemy probably 10 times the size of Hamas, and also dedicated to destroying the Jewish people and the state of Israel. The Houthis down in Yemen, the Iranian-backed militias in Syria and Iraq, and Iran itself, also dedicated to destroying Israel, wiping out the Jewish people, and perhaps on the verge of getting a nuclear weapon. And then the college campuses in the United States with this explosion of global anti-Semitism, and college campuses with other nations, and also these global Hamas, pro-Hamas rallies, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish rallies. Even in the last few days, we've seen at Eurovision demonic activity, where the Irish contestant, a self-proclaimed witch, tried to stop the Israeli contestant from participating. So we not only have a physical battle, but we also have a spiritual battle, which is why prayer is so important. Paul said in the book of Ephesians, Paul, who had his own change of heart on the road to Damascus, that we fight not just flesh and blood. We fight actually not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual demonic forces. And he also went on to say that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And here in CBN News and throughout the years, we have reported of people having changes of heart, in particular Muslims coming to faith. Here in our studio right after October 7th, we talked to a former Hezbollah terrorist who was dedicated to killing Jews and destroying Israel, but he had a supernatural visitation, a change of heart, when he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And when he was here in our bureau, he actually, just after his interview, we had an interview scheduled with the sister of one of the IDF soldiers who was kidnapped on the border on October 7th. And this man who had the change of heart went to her and with tears in his eyes, repented and asked her for forgiveness. And also, believe it or not, in Iran, the greatest threat to Israel right now is also the fastest growing church in the world, where many Iranians have come to faith through Jesus Christ. And they are maybe a million strong or more. And when they come to faith, when they have a change of heart, they also have a love for the Jewish people and the state of Israel. And also, we've heard stories of Israeli soldiers serving in Gaza who have had a revival of their faith in Judaism in the God of Israel. So as we go to God in prayer, we can be confident that despite the challenges, the opposition, even the hatred, he can change the hearts of men and women in these days. As the book of Proverbs says, the heart of a king is like a stream in the hand of the Lord, and so are the hearts of mankind.
The Israeli Defense Forces are one of the strongest armies in the world. They fight to protect the citizens of Israel day and night and sacrifice their lives to ensure our safety. The Genesis 1-3 Foundation has always made it a top priority to support the IDF, visiting them at their bases and supporting lone soldiers. On October 7th, with the heinous massacre by Hamas, soldiers raced to the front lines of the battlefield, risking their lives in the face of evil, and have been doing so ever since. Now, it is our turn, indeed our obligation, to support them, and they need our support and thanks more than ever. Since then, the Genesis 1-3 Foundation has traveled all over Israel to support our soldiers and their social welfare. We have provided more than 1,000 warm winter jackets to reservists, hot soup, shakshuka, and fresh barbecues for soldiers on the front lines and deep underground, essential life-saving equipment, special holiday and Shabbat celebratory meals, sending your prayers and words of encouragement to let them know they are loved and appreciated. We will continue to support the IDF and strengthen them in their battle for victory over terror and the protection of their loved ones. Each soldier is a world, and together they create an army. It is our job to pray for their success and safety and to support them in any way we can. Come alongside us today to pray and support Israeli soldiers.
I'm Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and of the ministry also of Real Life. And we have been absolutely grieved and certainly brought to prayer and to love and to concern and support of Israel. And so in light of that, with the time that I have with you, I would ask you to join with me in prayer. And so, Father, we come before you and we ask right now that you, as your word says, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. We pray for the protection of Israel, for its citizens, for its police, for its air force, for its military, for its commanders, the administration, the government. God, we pray for your presence. This is your land. These are your people. And Father, we pray for your tremendous, tremendous effect for good. Fulfill your word as promised in your holy scriptures. And then, Lord, we also ask that you would open up to everyone in Israel the hope of your word, that found in the word of the great Hebrew prophets is the promise that we need, the promise of hope, the promise of salvation, the promise of security, the promise of you. So, Lord, we just ask you to do that. And Father, finally, we just pray this right now, that in a very, very profound way, you would, God, invade the space wherever these hostages are being held. And by supernatural power, you would release them from their confinement and from their experience. God, that you would intervene in such a way that the gates where they're at, the doors where they're at, wherever they may be, would be opened, either by negotiation or by angelic angels. Nothing can hold you back. And we pray right now for your divine, divine manifestation and presence over your promised land and your promised people, Israel, and our Jewish brothers and sisters. Amen.
Friends, these are hard times for Israel. My name is Chaim Mailspin, director of the Faithful Galileans Charity. And I just, and, you know, running the Vertical Galilee House of Prayer, I just want to thank God together and give some prayer points. Thank him for his deliverance, my friends. Let's thank him in times of war that he delivered us from the Iranian missiles. He's delivering us. It says in Psalms 124, verse 7, thank him for rescuing us, just like King David did. He thanked God for the patience he gives us. We need to be thanking God for the patience he gives us, like James, to have patience through times of war, through the storms, and see his victory, his promises to come true, and for his strategy for Israel. You know, Exodus 14, just that we, you know, we were trapped, but God gave his strategy. Zechariah 12, he's got some strategy for us in the times ahead. So we just are thankful to God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful because he knows what's going to happen. He knows the future and he's going to intervene. Read Psalms 50 verse 15. He's going to intervene. Isaiah 30 verse 18. He's going to intervene on behalf of his people. This is his land. Israel is his people here. And many around the world are joined to this olive tree, to this tree of life in faith, and are heirs according to righteousness. We celebrate his consistent faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5, he is faithful. Hebrews 10 verse 23. Look up these verses, my friends, and see how he is giving blessings for salvation, rescuing Israel in grace, in faith. Ephesians 2. Okay, we just pray over the government in Israel. Guys, join with me as we pray for the government of Israel together. Turn to Zechariah 12 verse 2 and pray for the government, that they, in this time of criticism of Israel in the UN, criticism of Israel in the media, in the campuses, Mein Campus, you know, it's like Hitler's campuses. It's really, really, they're brainwashed and they are not speaking truth And so we just pray for protection and wisdom for Israeli leaders like Netanyahu and so on, the war cabinet, as we've entered Rafah. Psalm 68 verse 1, Zechariah 9 verse 13, Luke 11 verse 9 through 10. We petition heaven against all attacks, political attacks, spiritual attacks on Israel, physical attacks on the leaders, on the Knesset, our parliament. Psalms 35, 1, Psalms 115 verse 1 through 3. We just turn there, okay? You can pause this video. You can turn there, read it, declare it.
On behalf of the General Council of the Assemblies of God, it's my honor to participate in this prayer initiative. Heavenly Father, we pray for the release of all 133 hostages. And Lord, we know that praying for the release of hostages is a prayer in line with your will. For in Isaiah 61, the prophet declared a release of captives. Jesus echoed this, reading this call at the onset of his ministry at the Nazareth synagogue. So we too, Lord, we pray in our time for the hostages from the Gaza envelope and beyond to be released and set free. Heavenly Father, we pray for protection, for safety, for health, for all those being held hostage by Hamas. May efforts to harm them be unsuccessful. Thwart those attempts, O God. Comfort them in the dark moments they face. And as David prayed, prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. Lord, we pray that you would meet their needs where they are and provide for them. Lord, we pray for comfort of the families and the friends and the loved ones of those being held, and also for the loved ones of those who have lost their lives in captivity. May they find peace in your presence, O Lord. When King David and his men returned to Ziklag and found that the Amalekites had burned the city and taken away their wives and children, the Bible says they wept until they could weep no more. So we know the pain these families feel, it is real. A couple of verses later, the Bible tells us, but David found strength in the Lord his God. So Lord, we pray that these families and loved ones would find strength, hope, and comfort in you, O Lord, during this time. Finally, we pray against the rising tide of anti-Semitism throughout the world. When these hostages are released, Lord, may they feel the support of the global community and not the dark stain of anti-Semitism, which has plagued the world for way too long. We ask these things in the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm Ann Graham Lotz, and it's such a privilege to be asked to join you in prayer for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem, for the protection of her people, for the deliverance of the hostages. So thank you now for joining me as I lead you in prayer. Our Father in heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one I believe to be Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the eternal I am. You are not the I was or the I will be. You are the one who is age to age the same. There's no shadow of turning with you. You're fully present in every generation, past, present, and future. You are the Almighty. Your power has not been deleted or depleted over the millennia of human history. Again and again, you've been the salvation of your people, whether they've been enslaved in Egypt, running from Pharaoh's pursuing army, harassed by Midianites, Amorites, Edomites, Moabites, Canaanites, Perizzites, or Philistines, held in captivity by Babylon, scattered to the four corners of the earth, imprisoned in Nazi death camps, threatened with annihilation by Iran and her proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, Boko Haram, and the Houthis. You alone are able to shatter Israel's enemies. Oh, Lord God, do it again. We ask that the Iron Dome, David's sling, and the arrow would be 100% effective in protecting Israel and her enemies. We ask that you would guard the IDF, protect them, give them your vision as to where the enemy is hiding. We ask for supernatural wisdom for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, his cabinet, his counselors, and all government officials so that they make decisions in line with your perfect will. We ask that you would give Israel clear, unified leadership and citizenship during these dangerous days. We ask that you bless the beautiful land and all those who live there, both Jews and Arabs, with your peace. We ask.
Our Father in heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, awaken our hearts. Awaken the hearts of your people, Israel, who for too long have forgotten the lion within. They've forgotten how strong and how great that they are. They have no idea. Help them awaken and take back the streets of America and this entire world. Help them stand up and be strong and be proud as Jews. And remember you and remember the truth of your Bible. Dear God in heaven, awaken the hearts of our Christian brothers and sisters. Help them awaken and not be passive. Let them not think that this war is really about the Jews and doesn't concern them. And let them get off of their couches. Let them stand up and realize that this war is coming for them as well. And that the time has come for Jew and Christian to put all of our problems in the past and to stand together, not only in prayer, but in action to fight back against evil. Dear God in heaven, awaken the hearts of the people of Ishmael, the people of Ishmael who say that they believe in you, but they reject your Bible. And so they wear GoPro cameras as they commit terrible sins, and they do so terribly, evilly, in your name. Help them awaken and see that your will is expressed in the Bible. Let them stand up and repent and realize that they cannot take their own will and call it your will, but rather they must submit to your will as you have given it over in the Bible. And dear God, awaken the hearts of the people of Esau, right? Those people of the West, the secular people of the West who have rejected you, right? And they particularly hate the Bible because the Bible prevents them from fulfilling all of their greatest desires, all of their worst inclinations. And so they hate the Bible just as the people of Ishmael hate the Bible. God, help them awaken and realize how empty their lives are without you. And let all of us, Jew and Gentile, Ishmael and Esau, stand together, shoulder to shoulder, side by side, together in your holy city, Jerusalem, and pray together in humility and love and in peace. Let us say, Amen.
Psalm 83, a psalm against our enemies. God, do not you be silent. Do not be still. Do not be quiet, God. Indeed, your enemies roar. Those who hate you have lifted up their heads. They connive in secret against your people. They take counsel against your treasure. They say, let us go and wipe them out from being a nation, so that the name of Israel never be mentioned again. Indeed, they have put their hearts together. They have cut a covenant against you. The tents of Syrians and the Iraqis, the Yemenis and the Iranians, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, the Palestinian Authority and Hezbollah. The Turks, too, have joined them. They are the arm of the sons of Lot, Selah. Do to them as you did to Midian and to Sisera and Yavin in the stream of Kishon. They were destroyed at Ein Dor. They were dung for the land. Make their leaders as Orev and Ze'ev, all their chiefs as Zebach and Salmunah, for they have said, we shall inherit for ourselves the gardens of God. O God, make them as tumbleweed, as straw blown before the wind, as fire burns a forest, as flames cause a mountainside to blaze, so should you pursue them in your windstorm and confound them in your tempest. Fill their faces with humiliation, so that they seek your name, Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded forever. Let them be disgraced and destroyed. so that they know that you, your name, Lord, are alone, far above all creation.
This global day of prayer for Israel, we join so many in praying for the safe return of the hostages and for the soldiers fighting to return them. As we said on the National Day of Prayer, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and rescues them from their troubles.
Please join us in praying for the safety of Israel and its people.
God bless.
This is Jonathan Feldstein from the Genesis 123 Foundation, watching the newest version, the newest edition of Israel the Miracle coming off the press. We are printing these. If you didn't know, we're printing these in conjunction with Gush Be'eri, which is one of the communities that was most hardly devastated by the October 7 terrorist attack. They have one of the biggest printing presses in all of Israel, and we are thrilled, not just that the proceeds of the book are coming back to Israel to support projects from our Israel Emergency Campaign, but also that we're investing money, the money to pay for the printing, to pay for the binding that you're seeing being done here behind me right now. We're investing money back in the community so that they can rebuild as well. And it's super exciting to be here. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a book being bound. That's a fascinating process. This is a huge machine, and they're super professional. The book is gorgeous. If you haven't gotten your copy, israelthemiracle.com. If you need to order them through your church or ministry or some other organization, order them by bulk. We'll make sure that it's worth your while, and you can sell them. And when I come visit, we'll even have an opportunity to sign them. So, at the bindery for Israel the Miracle, second edition, this is Jonathan Feldstein saying thank you and God bless you to everybody who's been part of this process. And I hope you'll make this opportunity to get your book as well today, israelthemiracle.com.
Well, friends, I hope that was as inspiring for you as it was for me to hear again and again and again, and we can't hear this too much. I want to ask you to please share this. And when you do that, I want you to like and comment on the Genesis 123 Foundation social media for inspiration from Zion. And when you share the link to this program or comment on it, we're going to pick one of you at random each month, so keep doing it, to receive an incredible copy of our book, Israel the Miracle, that we published just before the war began and now has prophetic significance. Please share and comment. We're always grateful that this podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. If you're in the area and need something, please pop in or just go hi and say thanks to them for helping make conversations like this possible. And special thanks to the Coyne family as well for making this conversation possible. Inspiration from Zion and all of the Genesis 123 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please consider joining us to help continue the dialogue and building bridges. This episode, I have the honor and sadness to sponsor in memory of a woman wonderfully known as the Bubby, the grandmother. A year ago, we celebrated her 100th birthday. She was a Holocaust survivor, and we've published a lovely book called Bubby's Story, which if you'd like a copy of, please reach out to me. And on her birthday, on the day of the Global Prayer for Israel, May 15th, 2024, the Bubby turned 101 years old. But she also passed. And we want to extend condolences to her family and thanks to her grandson, Barak Raviv, who was one of our generous sponsors for the Global Prayer. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode in honor or memory of a loved one or a special occasion, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. We'd always love to hear your comments as well as part of a dialogue and invite you to send any questions, especially questions you have about traditional Judaism, for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this with others who will also find it of interest. And please continue to join us right here where we bring you more meaningful conversations about topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy, and send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains. God bless you.
Hallelujah, Al-Mashiach.